Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Video games are the latest craze to sweep the country and most of the world, too. Millions of people are addicted to hours of gazing at electronic images on game screens and arcades and in their own homes. What makes video games so popular? Well, we search for an answer as we begin a special series on Video Fever, Games People Play.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as per usual,
it's Ben Vanel here. We had a few little hiccups in the lead up to talking. And
that was a bad fake hiccup.
Yeah, it was. Boo!
Now they're gone.
First one back in the stewed since our break.
We forgot the order of when to press record buttons. I forgot to say my name's Adam Knox.
You struggled to clap for the syncing initially. But Tommy, that intro,
I haven't seen any good theatre performances over the break.
You've only been watching golf, so no, it's just a little.
I could have done a quiet one, absolutely.
Nailed the intro, Tommy, well done.
Thank you.
We're back in the room. We're here to talk about video games again.
It's a new year. There's some fucking awesome games that look like they're coming out this year. We talked about that last week, but boy howdy am I ready for a ton of games.
Now we're here and we're in it. It feels great. I'm excited to play Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth in a couple of weeks. I tried to have another little go of The Man Who Erased His Name. I booted it up, I walked around for a bit, and I went, why the fuck would I bother with this now?
But before we move on too far from 2023, before all of our old acquaintances may be forgot, which is a very bitchy thing to say. The haters is good, line one of that.
Good point. My old acquaintance, so just like anyone I had, anyone I didn't touch base with in the last year,
out of
gone.
My brain.
Yeah.
Delete.
I removed the rear view mirror from my car. And that's how I'm approaching
life. Not
only
that, I can't remember where I've driven.
That's a great. Imagine talking to that person who you're like, hey, have you got any like resolutions for the new year? Have you done any journaling, any reflections? And they're like, no, I wrote a big list of people that I'm never going to see again. You're like, yeah, I think you can put me on that list because you suck.
I just forget my old acquaintances, I think.
If you can see this, you survived the cull.
I've got a list of 20 of our acquaintances who are listening to this.
Our current acquaintances.
Our current, non-forgotten, much appreciated acquaintances. Dare I say loved.
Yeah.
My dear.
That is funny to
think
about.
Give me $50, Mike Whitney.
Or Tanya Zayeta.
Either one.
Please don't forget my old acquaintance, Tanya Zayeta. It's funny to talk about our listeners as if they're acquaintances.
I mean, they think of us that way.
I think they think of us
parasocial
as their best
relationships.
People think of me as a parasocial enemy.
How many people were going to New Year's Eve parties and thinking like, boy, I can't wait to kiss Ben, Tommy and Adam when the when the clock strikes midnight? Oh, hang on, I've never actually met them.
I'll tell you how many people. No one.
I don't know.
I reckon more than zero, less than 10.
I'm talking about IRL. My friend Earl. He didn't want to kiss me. Much like Earl, I've got a list here of
our acquaintances,
our listeners. We put the call out for a listener game of the year, and the call came in, and
I went
through and tabulated. I did the form in a stupid way where it was all just blank text boxes for what to vote. It was deliberate because it, like, last time we had the just 500 different fucking click the button choices.
This
was neater as an experience for the person voting. Many different spelling variations on each of
Ours.
So I went through and tabulated them.
I can't believe you tabulated them.
I was up all night tabulating.
Wow.
No, I did it during the day. But I was up all day tabulating.
And then you treated yourself to a good old fashioned sleep. sleep.
Oh, I wish I could have had more. I don't sleep that well, but I do read 20 games from 20 to 1, Bert Newton style, pretty well.
Hell yeah.
Do you want to know? You guys don't know this list.
No, I don't.
No.
I could just look over your shoulder right now from where I'm sitting and see your handwritten notes.
I doubt you'll be too surprised by most of them.
All right.
Yeah.
It was on a weighted scale, so the game people voted for in first place got 3 points.
Yes.
Second place, 2 points. Third place, 1 point.
I love that. I love that methodology.
This is some deep tabulating you've done.
Dude, I love to tab.
Now, when you say 20 to 1 style, does that mean we're going to pause after each one and have some D-grade celebs pop up and give some ribald comments about Pikmin 4?
Yeah. If we are the D-grade celebs, then yes, absolutely.
Wow, we got upgraded.
New year, new grade.
Do you want to have any guesses, any predictions as to what the overall...
Yeah, that you don't confirm or deny, but...
No, I won't tell you until we're up to it.
I guess I'm going to say that the number one game was Tears of the Kingdom based on our listenership.
Yeah, that feels right to me. Yeah. I really can't tell between that or Baldur's Gate.
Yep. But yep, fair.
Edging more towards Tears of the Kingdom, I think.
Yeah. And now let's do the same thing for numbers 2 through 20.
Adam, what do you think? Any guesses about what's in your handwriting in front of you?
Guesses I had before tabulating, I can even say.
Yeah.
It matches up with what you'd reckon.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of good games came out last year.
A
lot of games got like one vote or something like that, so they don't obviously show up here. There was a good breadth of, and a lot of people being like, I didn't play that many games, so like Kirby from last year.
Don't bother responding then.
I can't knock that.
I enjoyed reading those ones.
Yeah.
It was fun during my tabulation. People cracking some jokes in there for
little
me.
Side quests, okay. Yeah.
A bit of fun. But yeah, I'll go through relatively quick. I will say the top two were with a bullet.
Sure.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And then the rest of the sort of 10 were hovering around similar numbers, slowly dropping down, as you'd imagine.
Yeah, and then this does make sense to me when I think about it.
This bottom 10 are in a second tier
that
are then hovering around similar numbers.
Well, sure. What I think we should do, and it might even be too late to do this, but because we've done our, obviously we did our Game of the Year episode 2 weeks ago, and now we're doing this, and I was talking to a friend of the pod, Gibby, the other day, who was playing through Cocoon, and he's like, this is a good game. How the fuck did this get Eurogamer's Game of the Year?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, a lot of places they just like to be contrary. It's like, you award your Game of the Year to Baldur's Gate 3, who cares? You know, it's like, of course that's going to be, that's in the contention for the Game of the Year because it's such a technical achievement. So like, you know, you can understand the like the motivation to sit around and be like, let's have a bit of outside of the box thinking.
Sure, a bit of clickbait.
So if you're doing like a personal list too, rather than like a whole website list like that, with a personal one especially, I can see that weighting towards like, well, I just enjoyed this one.
My favorite was Armored Core 6.
Yeah.
I will tell you.
So I think...
Oh, no, it does.
So I wonder if maybe it's too late for this, but when we get to the end of this list, maybe we should come up with our like overall public-facing Game of the Year that we put out that's completely contrarian and out of the box.
Okay.
So that we so that we just get a bit more, you know what I mean? Sure. It gets people talking. It gets people being like, what are these guys smoking over there?
Game of the Year.
Yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, I did someone put like the New York Times Connections game as number one. But you know what? That's pretty damn fun, and there are a couple of votes for it here. It's the one where you get a grid of like 16. I've been playing it. I should talk about it.
Yeah, okay.
You get 16 words.
Wait till we finish recording, though, please.
16 words in a grid. It's part of the New York Times. You get the crossword and the Wordle and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And the words have relations between each other, and you get to watch.
Fuck.
Relations between each other in groups of four. But the words will sometimes have overlapping meanings, so you could think, for example, if you get red and blue. Oh no, that's a really bad example. If you get
color,
tire and wheel,
car,
tire could mean sleepy. So it actually could go with like bed, exhaust, and then exhaust is car. And so but some of them will only have three. You have to figure out the groups of four that match together on a theme.
Okay,
it's a bit of fun. I do it every day anyway. One thing you don't do every day is read the 20 favorite games, your favorite games of 2023. Number 20, Diablo 4.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
There's a few here that we certainly didn't have on ours, but
I did not see that really getting much of a mention anywhere in the interview.
I saw it a little bit. I saw it pop up and reminded me like, oh yeah, I guess that was a good game, but it was
actually,
not.
Actually, yeah, I saw it pop up as number 20 on our listener Game of the Year list. I just remembered.
Oh, okay.
It's funny that some of the reception I've seen in Game of the Year discussions around that is like, well, after you finish the main story, which is fun, it doesn't keep you hanging around for more of the Diablo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you're talking to the everyman, when you're talking to Johnny Lampshade out there, it's irrelevant.
That
if
is
you
my,
have fun
yeah,
with a game.
I mean, it's what the fourth in one of the most famous franchises of all time.
Right.
It's not that big a departure from the previous one. So if you love them and you're the kind of person who buys three games a year, absolutely that
it's
makes
scratching
sense.
Scratching the itch.
Yeah.
And it is a great piece of game criticism that I like when, you know, they'll have 100% of the game and be like, yeah, the last five side quests that I had to do to get to 100% weren't very enthralling.
I enjoyed
7 out of 10
of the 160 hours I played on it. Yeah, and it is number 20 on the only list I respect, which is your list. Number 19, Hi-Fi Rush.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That was on a lot of Game of the Year lists.
It's a really creative, and the rhythm and the music and stuff in that was really fun.
Super, cohesive and of a style that jived with most people.
Yeah,
I
unique,
feel like we were a little
unique mechanics, pretty unique kind of visual style. When it came out, we were sort of in the minority of not really vibing with it as
much. We get into an awkward position where we're really picky about some things in similar ways, so we can join together in a pretty cocoon is the Game of the Year way of having opinions about things, including number 18, Final Fantasy 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Followed closely in front by Dead Space Remake.
Oh, yeah. No, we're starting to get into the ones that I did have on my, honorables. I really enjoyed that game.
Mm-hmm. I think everything from up here, you'll be like, yep.
Yeah, great.
I'll go through them pretty quick.
My eyes are up here.
Obviously, the last couple of weeks we talked about them.
My 14 through ones are up here.
Tommy, I'm pleased to announce number 16 is Pikmin 4.
Oh, yeah. I'm not. I think it should be higher.
Number 15, David the Diver.
Yeah, okay.
David the Diver coming in at number 15. Number 14, Ben's personal choice, Armored Core 6.
Nice.
It's got that, you know, on like pet food, how it'll like have some weird pet chef sometimes who's like,
yeah.
But like a cat who's like, this is my choice.
Yes.
Like, this is a fucking Matt Preston of cats.
Yeah.
Cat Preston.
Yeah. Ooh.
Cat Preston.
Cat person.
And for a dog, George Collar and Barless. Wearing
a
collar.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't give his puppies enough kibble.
And Gary Meowgan.
Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, beautiful stuff.
Rasta ref. We're out. Number 13.
Yes. Lucky for some.
Well, unlucky for most. One of the unluckiest games of the year that finished the year with a mostly negative rating on Steam from people that I do think has caught a lot of fashionable heat. Number 13 here is Starfield.
Oh, oh. Right.
It's got a bad rating on Steam?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. I properly finished that over the break.
Right.
I got up to the last mission and knew what happened and was like, well, I'm going to hold off for a bit.
Yeah.
Finished it. Yeah, it's a good game. Like, it's a very good game.
I did, yeah. I saw this pop up in a lot of discussions of people talking about, it might have been in our Discord and in some other places, of people's, like, disappointments of the year.
Right, right.
And nearly all of them seemed to be based around the fact that how they had talked about the game in the lead up and how overhyped it was, where they, you know, I think people felt like this is a fine game, but they just really oversold it. And so I really went in thinking I was about to have video games completely redefined for me.
And I think
if
you
played a fun open world game,
right.
If you look at it from any other studio, how they would have progressed in the last 10 years between Skyrim and this, the 12 years in between, the jump isn't massive.
Yeah.
No.
So I think that leads to a lot of the disappointment, but it's still in with a very slow moving bullet at number 13. Number 12 was Sea of Stars, which I've still not gotten around to, but seems cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
Number 11, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty.
Ooh.
Not a game. It's DLC.
I counted it. There were some I didn't, but I...
Most outlets, I should say, did as well.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. It's like... I don't know. And we talked about this of like, it's the massive gap between most critics and people's reactions to it when it came out, and now seems strange based on how little difference
there
actually is.
I think maybe that's what people are counting as well, though. Like, they're actually kind of, they feel like they're experiencing the game for the first time.
A lot of the votes were for, like, the 2.0 patch plus Phantom Liberty sort
and
of
thing. I get it if it's like a paid, you know, if it's like meaty enough to have been a paid expansion, then I guess you can make the argument that it's a, you know, you've paid more for it, so it's like a new game,
The format of games now, including early access and all of the types of things that games can be. Mm-hmm. Technically, Baldur's Gate 3 came out in 2020, all of that. Right. It's all meaningless
seasonal
now.
Stuff, yeah.
I
finished Phantom Liberty over the break.
Nice.
It is quite long. It's great. A hefty 10+ hours, and I love it. I think, like, some of all the design of the new area, the acting, the story is and I played through that original story a few times, but I guess this just felt fresh and maybe even a bit better done.
Reflecting can the court of public opinion. Anyway, look at us criticizing the critics. What are we, some sort of Metacritic? That's a good idea for a website. Let's trademark that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 10, Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Okay.
Up there for us too.
Yeah, where did you guys have that from memory?
I don't remember.
I think
so. From memory, can't tell you.
What about just from having written it down in Google Docs?
It must have either been hovering around the bottom end, or I think maybe not even in there for me. I think it must have been in there, but I don't remember being that high for me.
I think it was 3 or something.
Yeah.
By the way, we should say a big shout out to, I forget the person's name, but they're in our Discord, and they they posted a list. They posted what looks to be their life's work.
This is a Patreon exclusive as well, by the way.
Yeah, a list that they've collated of not only all of our personal games of the year going back since we started doing those episodes, but just any time we've listed off anything.
Yeah.
I forgot that we did this. I don't know what it was for. Maybe just we were banking an app or something, but we did the top... The top dogs in video games, and they've bothered to put that on there, so...
And I didn't... There's nothing from me.
Maybe you didn't have a top dog.
I think I only did jokes.
Yeah,
conscientious
right.
I think
objector.
I only did jokes. They were like, nah.
And this person thought, oh, well, I'm not honouring this.
Yeah. But, like, also, yeah, we did a... we did a... premium episode that was what if the Big Brother house had to be filled with video game characters.
Right.
They listed all of that.
Yeah.
Just anytime it seems like anytime we've ranked anything, even just off the cuff, gone, here's my favorite flavor of Arnott shapes. That's in there. Like,
bit of fun.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
Boggledash, I believe, is their username. And if you want to see it, you got to sign up to the Patreon.
Thank you for doing that.
To the social media tier. I forget what it's called, but yeah.
And now we return the favor by making your list, the people's list. The most electrifying list in video games entertainment today. Number 9, Lies of P.
Great. I mean, it's interesting seeing whether or not we've influenced, what games people have played, full stop.
Sure. I mean, there's one that we definitely, I remember not knowing about, but a bunch of people talked about it at the time.
Okay.
Coming up later.
But yeah, we were big P boosters. We love that game.
I love P.
Have you guys finished P?
I got to like the second last boss or something and just found it hard, put it down and haven't gone back.
Yeah.
I know the stinger at the end.
I was reading about it.
Oh, yes.
We won't spoil it, but fuck, I want to play more from them.
Oh, yeah. Like that kind of made me... That's kind of the thing, apart from hearing you guys talk positively about it, that's like the extra little cherry on top that made me go, I got to go in on this game.
Yeah. It's really great.
It's fantastic.
Number 8, Hogwarts Legacy.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 7, Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Beautiful game.
I still haven't tried that VR mode.
Right.
Big plan of mine over the break was to have a bit of VR time, but I ended up having a bit of real world time instead. And let me tell you, it's way better for you.
Yeah.
Do you want
I feel fine.
Do you want some honest life advice?
Yeah.
Sell your fucking VR headset. You're complaining all year that nothing's coming out on it. And then a VR mode for the best game that's ever been made has come out and you still haven't fired
I'm
it up.
I'm going to.
Sell
and
it.
And I could at any time.
Sell it.
Go out for like 8 nice dinners.
The fucking peanut gallery will always have some opinion about Liza, shit they Liza don't know gallery. About.
You can early adopt something, but then you can send it back to the agency.
No. It's for life. I'm not putting a child through that. Number 6, Jedi Survivor.
Hell yeah.
Star Wars okay. Jedi Survivor.
Great game. Great game. But was high on my list, I believe, or is on my list.
I think I will say as well, with the voting system too, a lot of ones that are in people's third places can get quite high if mm-hmm. a lot of people play them. I think this was one of the... But yeah, good game.
Yeah.
Number five, Alan Wake 2.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Rider.
Yep.
Number four, this is the one I thought maybe... I hope we got to spread a little bit of the word about is Dredge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Very okay. high up.
Yeah. Number three, bit of a surprise to me. This is the most surprising one maybe in its position, but it's a huge game. Spider-Man 2.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it.
That's similar to... Diablo 4.
Right.
Where it's like, you may not play many games this year,
that's
but
it.
You like Spider-Man.
There's a lot
Spider-Man
of people,
2's a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a game who would it would have been... I think this would have had the highest percentage of like only game of the year
yeah.
for most people.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Agreed.
The top two were far and away the top two. Coming in just under number one is, as you might guess, number two, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Wow-ee.
Which means number one, Baldur's Gate 3.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah,
with
okay.
a fucking ton of number ones.
Yeah.
By wow. far the highest number one earner.
Okay.
So I think it's just the thing where if someone is prone to a Baldur's Gate 3 obsession, yeah. you're fucking in.
Yeah.
But... all great games. Thank you very much to everyone who went and had your say.
Yeah.
That's your say. Echoed back to you.
Mm. And to follow up on a couple of things in there, I wish I could redo my list after having
yeah.
a couple of spare weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I've sunk more into Spider-Man 2,
mm-hmm.
and it's so Moorish.
Yeah.
It just feels so good to play. The story is interesting. The writing's good. I'm having such a good time playing it. And also, I don't know how far in I am. Maybe I'm halfway through. Alan Wake 2.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I properly started that. And it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm really, really loving it. It's,
that'd be on your list now, probably?
It would definitely be on my list now. It'd be really high up. It's, I don't think it does... everything it's trying to do so much at once that I think there's a couple of the things that it maybe doesn't do as elegantly as it could.
Yep.
But you just forgive it because it's just doing it all. I don't know, it's the whole,
so
it's
much
the sum of the parts. Yeah, like I kind of felt like the beginning of it, you are just thrown into this very like, you're just doing detective work that it sort of, it teaches you a bit of combat, but it's not really giving you all that much. And then it throws you in with this boss, which I kind of found a bit difficult to get to grips with because I just hadn't been doing... You do like one little tutorial-y combat thing and then all of a sudden you're taking on a boss. And I was like, I haven't really gotten the grips of any of these mechanics left yet. I've spent 5 hours just doing getting clues and putting the Mind Palace stuff together and all that. And... you know, I've done maybe like 10 minutes of shooting and now I'm like in this pretty...
like aggressive
high stakes
boss.
Yeah.
And you don't have much stuff on you. And I had
but also I wouldn't change that pace. You know, like weirdly, even though I do think that makes it a little uneven, I wouldn't change the pace of it. I wouldn't put in more, you know, combat stuff in the lead up to that because I just liked... I'm kind of most enjoying the just like going around, getting the clues, finding stuff. I'm not... as much loving the like when I'm thrown into the combat stuff because it is a bit too few and far between that I just really get into the rhythm of putting the stuff together. Even though the mind play stuff is so handholdy, just the satisfaction of like clicking on the right part of the wall and the like bit of twine coming along it is such a satisfying feeling that like I don't really care that it's not, you're not really detecting. You're having your hand really held.
Yeah, I agree with, I think... all of that stuff, like the combat is very much secondary to the story in that game.
Yeah,
For me as well. But not that it's bad; it's just not as good as the parts of that game's doing really well, which is why it was number five for all of you folks.
Yeah,
and so thanks again.
Yes,
That's the last fucking list we'll do for some time, I think.
Sure,
we've talked about our favorite games. We've talked about the next year's games. We've talked about your games.
Yeah,
I'm sick of numbers.
Okay.
Letters only from now on. And you better not spell out a number or I'll know.
Okay. That really sounded like a classic Adam Knox segue into a. I've been playing Mario Teacher's Typing.
I tell you what, I played a bunch of during the. Or do you want to? Yeah, whatever. We can direct this in whichever way we choose.
Yeah,
I played a very calm. So I painted a lot of where I live. And I played a bunch of House Flipper 2 over the break.
We saw a bit of your paint job last night. We should say we've done another Lethal Company video.
Oh, yeah.
Surprised that didn't show up on any of our listeners.
Yeah.
It was so recent, and it's kind of a hard one to play. You need a group.
It is still technically an early access, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
So that could show up on some end of year lists this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we had another session of that. Last night, we got two videos out of it. One of them is online now.
Yes.
And, we're actually, I'll be damned if we're not learning how to play this game.
Well, you know, well, I would, we're kind of not.
I would be pretty happy for our only YouTube content from now on to just be us playing Lethal Company.
Oh, it's really fun.
It's really enjoyable.
It's a fun game. It has that perfect thing that I feel like people were getting out of Fall Guys that we just did not at all.
Right.
Yes. Of like... You're running around the controls are quite precise in Lethal Company.
Yes.
They're very simple, but they're very precise. But like, we're fucking up heaps, and it's very, very funny.
It is the perfect like natural comedy game.
Yes,
it isn't trying to be funny.
It's trying to be scary,
but it is so built to be funny deliberately.
Yes,
like it isn't accidentally funny. It knows exactly what it's doing.
Totally,
and you might die so well. Fuck up because a little creature. Jumps out from behind a doorway.
You
and
might
nabs
have
you.
That happen every time.
You might have that happen every time, but not because I think with Fall Guys, the thing we all found annoying was like the physics of just moving around.
Yes.
That style of like you're gonna fuck up at this game because the controls are shit is really annoying. Yep.
Human
like,
fall flat. All of those types of ones.
Yeah. Frustrating.
That are
yeah.
Not explicitly making jokes games, but are like comedy games.
Yeah.
I'm really liking Lethal Company 2, and yeah, we'll be playing more of that on YouTube.
Yeah.
As well as probably as well at some point, but at this point, that's what we're doing.
Mm. Anyway, you hopped on Discord last night before our session, and I saw a beautiful, newly painted wall behind you.
That's Rhino Grey.
Is it really?
The lettering is Raised Nimbus.
You weren't tempted to use the Pantone Color of the Year from 2023.
What was it? Was it like a pastel
pink? It's like a pastel-y pink kind of thing.
I feel like that's from 10 years ago.
I thought that was at least a year before,
or at least just like socially, maybe it's their one. But in terms of cool, people into pastel pink right now, evidently.
That's I guess
weird.
So. You could have gone full 2023 mode and used pastel pink to paint the color to paint the word Riz on the wall behind you.
He's
the color of Porky Pig's.
He's pastel pink.
Yeah,
he's pink.
Try saying that, Porky.
Porky Pig pastel pink.
Yeah, maybe 22 was salmon. Might have been salmon.
Getting different shades of pink for the next decade.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I did a bunch of like DIY around the house and fucking trees and shit, and it was really fun.
You fucked some trees?
Huh? You can't prove anything. Talk about a woodpecker.
I played
a bunch of House Flipper 2.
Mm. Right.
And
When did that come out? A few months ago or something?
No. December, I think.
Oh.
It's fairly recent.
Less than 1 month ago.
Something around there.
Okay, four to 6 weeks. No, 3 to 6 weeks.
We could probably figure it out if you really want to.
I'd love to drill down even further.
Yeah.
Well, if you like drilling down.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed House Flipper 1.
Famously.
It's this similar to Power Wash Simulator, which you played a bit of over the break, Tommy, of just a sit back, move your mouse a little, do a little yard work in a simple, straightforward, relaxing way.
Mm-hmm.
It's that joke from The Simpsons of the VR yard work simulator.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But it really is just like calming, and it's you're placing objects in there as well, building furniture and stuff. So it's got a bit of like the Simsy kind of satisfaction of just home design and decor and stuff. But then...
Was it called unpacking? Yeah, unpacking.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, yeah. The first one was good, but a little clunky, a little frustrating at times because the actual mechanics of how you were doing things was sometimes a little weird. Like you'd be squeegeeing windows, for example, and it was really particular about getting every speck of dirt off of there.
Is House Flipper and Power Wash, are they the same company? Are they made by the same people?
Don't think so, but they've got very similar mission statements.
Yeah, and also just like... That's the one thing I don't really love about Power Wash is just the interface is really similar to the House Flipper. It's like, yeah, very small text, very, I don't know, there's just something about it that's like a little too, I don't know, and I know this is like the point of the game, but it's just very mechanical and very like,
yes, it feels stiff.
Yeah,
I found that about Power Wash too, and there's some stuff you can do with Power Wash as well where you like release your washer from being in the center of the screen so you can move it around independently, and that feels a lot better to clean things.
Okay.
But you do have to be very particular about cleaning up every speck of dirt in that. House Flipper 2 was similar with some stuff. I mean, House Flipper 1. House Flipper 2 has streamlined a lot of that, has improved how it's thought about how you do basic stuff like painting. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in House Flipper 1, you would paint like a strip of a certain width of blocks along a wall, and you would move along and do it and relocate it every time. In this one, you kind of draw out a grid on the wall of how much of the wall you want to paint, then just go nuts on it.
Okay, that's handy.
The windows, when you're cleaning them, if you've cleaned like 90% of it, it'll give it to you.
Yeah, okay.
You're fine then.
Okay.
A lot of stuff
like
that
to learn.
Has just been streamlined and is smoother and a little more fun to actually do. So I chewed through there's sort of like a main story of House Flipper 2 where, I mean, it's not really a story. You're getting calls from all the people who you're doing, and they've each got some little different scenario that they want it done. They're like, oh, there was a flood in my house. Can you go clean it out and replace it with all this furniture? And it's just a satisfying, relaxing, simple time that at some point is going to be monetized to hell. And like that's what they did with House Flipper 1 is put out 30 expansions or whatever.
Right.
So now here's gardens. Now here's pets. And it's similar to something like City Skylines or any very expansion-based game.
Well, and they're doing the same thing with Power Wash where they've put in. They did Final Fantasy was free, but then SpongeBob is paid.
There was a free Tomb Raider one.
Yeah,
but and that's sort of different because, well, it's the same, but then in House Flipper 2, you move on from one that had all of this extra stuff in it over time from these expansions, and now you're sort of taking a step backwards to where, oh, well, I can't do the lawn now. I can't do all of these other types of House Flipper cleaning.
Right.
The basic thing is that you're going and cleaning up dirty houses and then selling them for more, by the way. Or you're doing little missions for people who want you to fix up their house, doing DIY projects. But so there's less in two than there was in one by the end of it, if
the
that makes sense.
The characters lost their powers.
Sort of.
Yeah.
It's you.
Well, one was popular and then they were adding this stuff in, right? And so with two, they know, oh, we'll hold this back because
it's just
charge for it down the line.
Lots of things sort of do it that way. The Sims has done that a bunch as like, you know, by the end of one of the run of those games, you got fucking horses and wizards and whatever, two similar scale things.
a wizard, I was going to say a horse could ride a wizard. A wizard could ride a horse.
If a wizard wanted it to happen, horse could make the wizard. I reckon there's a small enough horse out there that I could let it ride me.
Oh, a little Shetland pony?
Yeah.
See how the other half live, horse.
Yeah.
So that is just like an annoying sort of quibble about it that...
Right.
It's annoying to go back onto the same treadmill, presumably now, where it'll go garden next and then this other expansion, then this other one, rather than going, two has that stuff and we're going to think of more things to do.
I'd be
happy for it to go full on, like, we're in fucking space now and you're doing this space house and whatever.
Space House Flipper.
Go wherever you want, but... It is a bit of a shame to take a step backwards in that way, even though the base stuff has been streamlined in a really... smart way that I just found better across the board
for all
of the functions that you do have in it.
I think I kind of feel a bit the same about Power Wash with the stuff with the DLC. Like, it's pretty pricey for what it is. Like,
you
it's just like basically, I mean, the SpongeBob one, it's cool. Like, you know, you're cleaning up his little house, but there's no like music or like flavor to it, really. You're just walking around
getting
in silence.
Texts from SpongeBob.
Yeah, but no,
it.
Just like you're just reading texts from him.
That's
it's
weird.
Like not voiced. There's no, I thought there might be like a little cutscene or something. And it's like $30 for you to just basically stand in front of a big 3D model of
his
house.
They're 12, I think, to be fair, like each of the individual level packs for Power Wash. Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
You got ripped off.
I got ripped off. Yeah.
Someone selling Power Wash.
I bought mine in an alleyway.
Shit.
I tell you what, though, the brutal thing about Power Wash is you really learn about what your own standards of cleanliness are, because I was like, well, that's done. That's beautiful. And then I click the little thing that tells you how much you've done. It's like 40% clean.
And it's always the same shit that I do in real life where it's like, did you check on top of all the things?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't.
I didn't because I don't want to.
Can I see them? No, then they're clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy Power Wash Simulator for the same reasons. And I've ended up buying all of those things and enjoy them because they're well done. Like visually, like yeah. Each of the sort of what you're doing is like in the Back to the Future pack, for example, you're cleaning like the clock tower from the lightning storm and the DeLorean and, you know, all the things you imagine.
And you've got the like motorbike from Final Fantasy VII. Right.
The Airbuster.
Yeah. I did have a moment when I was cleaning SpongeBob's house where I went, wait, I'm using my hose, but I'm underwater. And I thought I was going to pass out.
I didn't think about that. And yeah, now I feel dizzy.
I was just watching it. I was like, wait, how?
Dude, he's a snail? Anyway, House Flipper 2, pretty cool. If you've played a bunch of House Flipper 1.
You might be missing that extra stuff.
And you could probably be pretty happy to wait for... several years, I suppose, but like there'll be a pack one day with all of it, like there is for House Flipper 1 now.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just frustrating to go backwards with these things, even though some of the fundamentals have moved forwards. But I really enjoyed playing that thing. And if you're into that type of like DIY, freshen things up, neaten things out, make things smooth. Move your mouse a bunch, just left and right, basically. But there'll be different types of mops and brushes that are pretending to be your mouse. You've got it.
Okay.
You've got yourself a real deal in House Flipper 2.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by the great folks over there at NordVPN.
It's a new year. It's the same reliable NordVPN with the same reliable VPN service that I genuinely use and recommend.
Yeah. You were telling us off air that you sat at your computer on New Year's Eve and you changed your location to wherever it was 11:59 for about 10 different time zones.
204 different New Year's.
That's how many
countries. I don't think Nord is in every country that you can go to, but they can go to a hell of a lot of them.
What's the first? I think New Zealand's half an hour ahead of us or something, or an hour ahead.
Yeah. It might be Fiji, maybe. Actually, even.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not sure. Either way, NordVPN can take you places. I, over the holidays, used it on my Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Set it all up there, which was so easy to do.
Yeah.
You just download the app, you do the QR code login thing.
Ooh. Oh, I love it.
Feels like magic.
I love that.
Zoom, all your apps think you're somewhere else.
Hell
and you're
yeah.
watching. The globes. We're members of one Earth, in my opinion.
Mm, one love, brother. One love.
And I love content, and you can get it from all over the place. You can get privacy, security, all sorts of positive benefits.
That's right.
And a special little deal if you listen to this podcast.
I was already sold. You've cost yourself a few dollars extra.
Damn it. Well, it doesn't go to me.
Yeah.
If you go to nordvpn.com/filthy, you can see the deal, which I believe offers you 4 free months on your plan for 2 years. And let me tell you, plan to use the internet. It's going to be around for at least 2 more years and 4 months.
That's right. Mm. Hey, and even if it's only around for 20 months... You got 4 months free just dangling there.
If something brings the internet down within the next 2 years, you're not going to care about
that's
that
right.
subscription.
You'll have bigger fish to fry. So go get yourself secure, browse the web safely with NordVPN. Support the people who support the show.
NordVPN.com/filthy.
And we're also brought to you this week by, once again, our mates over there at Manscaped.
Mm. Chop, chop, snip, snip. Get that hair off your dick. That is the official slogan of Manscaped, I have decided.
Oh, you can also, if you want to keep the hair on your dick, and this is a wild thing to throw into a Manscaped promo, you can use their products such as ball balm and conditioner and other liquid things you might use to keep yourself in good hygiene.
Yeah.
Of a similar high quality to everything that Manscaped make that we use. They lead the charge with their performance package, which includes the Lawnmower 5.0, which they've been tuning, finally and honing.
Mm.
And the boffins in there at the lab.
Dump, 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 with a whole bunch of scientists with a little patch cut out of their lab coat yeah. around their dicks that they're constantly shaving.
Oh, yeah.
We were lucky enough to get a tour of the Manscaped factory recently, and they showed us their new watch with a little laser beam that comes out of it that trims your pubes off. And that's not quite ready to see market yet. But
It's a sealed lab, but they tell you not to put a hairnet on because you're going to need that hair out. They make great stuff. You can have a look for yourself by going to manscaped.com. And then when you're checking out with your fantastic Manscaped products, use the code FILTHY. You get yourself 20% off and you'll get yourself free shipping.
Whoa.
Why would you not?
That's a great deal.
It's a good deal. It's a fine deal. It's a wonderful deal. Manscaped.com. Use the code FILTHY at checkout. 20% off, free shipping. Code FILTHY.
I did a little bit of Oculus-ing.
Okay.
And I had my own little...
Nah, weird. Own it and leave it alone. That's how you should do it. A little bit of life advice for you, Tommy. Don't touch your expensive possessions.
Oh, sorry, meta.
I was going to say, what are you talking about?
It had been so long since I'd used it that I had forgotten this had happened. I had to do my own little bit of DIYing. One of my controllers... When Resident Evil 4 came out, I could not get the right controller to work, and I did a bunch of Googling and I found out what can sometimes happen is that there's like, I don't know, like a gap or something between like where the battery is connecting. So I've had to get a little bit of foil and like fold it over and make a little kind of pillow
nice.
To kind of bridge that gap to get it to work. So I had to go do all that again. But I downloaded the Wallace and Gromit VR game.
Hell yeah.
Which... There's also a Sam & Max one on there, which I was also very excited about because I love Sam & Max, and these things all tend to be pretty much the same thing. You're doing a bunch of bullshit little mini games where
it's a man and a dog.
You're just
You're
picking something up and you're putting it in a little thing, and then you're aiming a little and you're shooting it. It's just little storyline around just doing these same little mini games that are in every VR based thing.
Are you getting anything or required to or given an achievement or something at any point for doing the Wallace hands, the wiggling fingers hands?
It does teach you that early on as like you're being talked to by this little robot, and it's like, hey, if you need help, just do this.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, great. That's cool.
But anyway, the actual like the gameplay of it is, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But I will say, sitting there and I'm getting that like extra effect of like I had not put on the headset for like quite some time.
Mm.
So just the effect of VR again being like, oh yeah, this is really cool. Putting it on and I'm in their little living room and Gromit's sitting across from me looking back at me. I was like, I'm so happy. This is fucking awesome. Sick. Like, okay, yeah, if all we ever get out of this kind of VR experience is like, hey, you're in the
Wallace.
World. You're hanging out with them. You pick up his little golf ball and go put it in that. That's fine. If I get to sit there and...
You know, Wallace's famous golf ball.
Well, we're going to the moon so we can play golf up there.
Okay, I'll accept that.
But, that was a bit of fun. I did a bit of power wash in there. And I've downloaded more Beat Saber stuff, which I've not gotten around to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Rolling Stones are on there now.
Yes, that's cool.
Keep meaning to go into the... A lot of the reason why I didn't during this break is because I was doing all that DIY stuff, which stands for don't I... You wish I'd paid someone to do this instead.
Yeah.
But I'm so keen to do Resident Evil and play... Everyone's been splooging their dungarees about Asgard's Wrath 2.
That was on a lot of end of year lists. Yes. That's like a...
Came out like really recently though. So it was December the 15th or something like that.
And it's like a 100-hour RPG.
Open world
or something
RPG,
In VR. It seems like it's one of the first, big full-scale games in a VR.
I'd love to be wiggling that soon. As well as some positive previews that have just come out about Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which we all were pretty dismissive of last week.
Yep.
Because it doesn't look good. from
I feel like that makes sense, right?
it didn't appear that it would be good.
Well, we talked about it just last week.
Yeah.
Dismissively. Derisively.
Yep.
And it turns out we shouldn't have been so ribald because it early previews are good. So I'm interested to play that.
Yeah, and finding out that it's a lot of the same people that worked on the Rayman Legends and Origins, which are fantastic 2D platformers, kind of made me go, oh, okay, well, maybe this is worth taking notice of. That could be a lot of fun. But hey, speaking of 2D platformers, I'll tell you what I've been giving a red hot workout to, the Analog Pocket.
Oh.
It might be my favorite.
I thought he was going to talk about something else.
Hole in his pocket.
Something else pocket sized.
Yeah.
Well. So small.
It might be my favorite video game console thing that I own.
I've had to like slap my hand on the purchase button a few times. I could trade in the PSVR and get one of them probably for roughly the same price, but I simply refuse.
Okay. They're fucking great. And just something about, playing the Game Boy stuff on, I'm sure I said this before, playing the Game Boy stuff on the Switch Online, there's just something about like the layout of that console and that screen size, like actually playing it on something that replicates the feel of the original Game Boy is just, I'm having such a good time. So I've gone and I've gone through Wario Lands 1 through 4, the original Game Boy quadrology.
It's taken like 8 years, but I've fucking wrecked you because you are sitting there playing an emulated console with every game on it and you've gone through a whole series that is no longer relevant from 1 to 4.
Yep.
I've converted.
You've incepted him.
I've incepted you.
Yep.
Finally.
Well, I said.
We're spreading.
I said this when I got it that the first thing I played on it was I have an actual Wario Land 1 cartridge that I bought in Japan when we were there, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to hear my brief thoughts and rankings for Wario Land 1 through 4?
Delete the word brief from that sentence. Go as in-depth as you feel.
Stretch out.
Yeah, because they're weirdly, they are all quite different from each other. Not really in a way that's like that iterative where they're like adding on little things. They're kind of like mechanically and they just kind of like scrap what they've done before and completely change from one to the next.
Because Wario Land 1, Super Mario Brothers Land 3, I've played that one, which is where you're doing a lot of shoulder charging, but it's a pretty straightforward kind of slow-paced platformer.
Yeah, and it's interesting because just kind of reading a bit more about the team that had made the Game Boy Mario Land games, Wario was kind of born out of them feeling like they really were this like B team of second banana, you know, like the Super Nintendo is going off and they're just sort of relegated to doing these like, you know, what we're seeing as like these scaled back, smaller,
black
even
and
though,
white, simple, yeah.
Yeah, even though Mario Land 2 is great, like they just still felt like they wanted to do something that was like their own identity. So they and they also didn't really have that many eyes on them. So they just pivot and they go, here's our weird little fucked up guy that we're just going to make these games of now. And also just the fact that he, you know, Mario is a bit more about speed and Wario, like he takes up more of the screen, he's slower, which just kind of like makes sense for the architecture of the Game Boy. Like he just, you know, all that kind of stuff is so fascinating to me. But it's, very like slower paced game. It's, you know, you're going from A to B, but then you're looking for treasures along the way. And it's like a, you know, it's for like 1993. It's like, it's pretty cool. It's got like, you know, multiple endings based on like how much treasure you've collected along the way. But what I found very funny about it is you get to the end, you get shown how much, what kind of castle you've been able to buy based on how much treasure you've collected. Mm. And then I found this very funny and of its time. It just goes, anyway, the end. You got this ending. You could have gotten more. Maybe try to get some more. And then you don't get booted back to the menu. You don't get booted back to the map screen. You just have to turn the game off and start all over again.
I love that shit. When it was just like, yeah, man, turn it off now. See ya.
Yep. Try this again. Just go back through it again.
So much character in that, though. Like, Mario Land 2 has that. And the best parts of Mario Land 2 are how the weirdness of that for even a Mario game. And then, but like, I can still, I've got him the wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Yep.
I can like I haven't played that game in years, but
even when he gets hit, and you know, it kind of took me a little while to realize this because they don't have like a proper you know, they obviously can't do vocal stuff in it. But he's got his little noise that he makes where he goes...
That's a fair, all like, the little squelchy sounds they're able to get out of that thing.
Kind of, it took me hours into these games to realize, like, oh, that's their, like, version of him, like, having a voice. Like, that's kind of, you know, what they then would have iterated on with getting Charles Martinet to do his voice. You know what I
guess
mean?
He, like, yeah, just heard it going, like... And we was like, okay, yeah. I guess that's his voice.
So... One's great. Yeah, you just, it's pretty simple. You just, Wario's out to just find some treasure. The second one, he's in his little castle. Bunch of bad guys come and they take over his castle and kick him out.
Fuck.
And you've just got to track him down. You've just got to go to the castle.
John Wick style.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't know you, but they have a certain set of skills.
They take all his money.
That's the other movie.
Yeah,
John Wick 2.
You got to go to his. You got to go to the bad guy's castle and get all your money back.
Mm-hmm.
This one not as good.
Okay,
I think they really shifted up. So in this one, you can't die. Like you don't have a health bar or anything like that.
Interesting.
It's sort of a lot more like puzzle based in how you get in and out of the levels. They start to do a lot more of the like little transformations that he has. So there'll be like a, you know, there'll be like a little chef guy walking around who's just chucking donuts out. And if you touch one of the donuts, you get real fat and then you can break through different parts of the wall and ground and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about this one that didn't click with me as much. Like the ones, one and three both have like an overworld map, which I love. This is just like a lot more linear. He's on a little story. Just it goes from like level to level.
Right.
Yeah, didn't really gel with this one as much. But then three, I loved. Three is he's off looking for treasure. He gets sucked into a magical music box.
Oh.
And you got to try and get your way out. And I'd played this back in the day, but I had forgotten this about it. It's basically a Metroidvania where you don't really have any of your abilities at the start and you gradually unlock them. And it does this really nice job of like you unlock new little levels, but you're going back into all of them maybe four or five times as you get new abilities and then you'll be in a level and you'll hit a switch and then it's like the water level's raised so you can get up to this bit now.
Sick.
It really, it's like, I think it's like 10, 11 hours long. They like cram so much into this game in such a smart way of like they've built the levels are all there so it's not using up, you know, too much of the space on the cartridge, but just like getting you to go back in different ways and find new stuff in the levels. It's like so satisfying to really feel like you've thrashed all these levels for everything they're worth.
Fuck, this guy's living my dream.
And then
Land 3 on a goddamn cool thing.
4 is the best one. I can't believe they tapped out after 4. Well, they made another couple, but
4's the GBA one.
4's
right?
The GBA one. It's got these cool SNES-y visuals. He's got a bit of fucked up digitized voice sample stuff in there that they somehow managed to fit on those GBA carts that they were kind of obsessed with.
I loved it when they did. Do you remember the little you could get TV show cartridges?
Yeah.
Little like two episodes of Pokemon and a Game Boy cartridge.
Yeah. You could get like half of Shrek or something, I think.
Yeah. We're going to have half this road trip quiet because the kid's in the back holding a Game Boy Advance, wrecking his eyes.
You know what's funny is you can download ROMs of them.
Oh, I know, baby.
That's sick.
People have made other movies into Game Boy Advance cartridges.
Ah, cool.
It's just a super compressed fucking movie. So they look like shit, but it's so
like
cool.
A 32 megabyte real player file, basically. But yeah, the Wario Land 4, it's got the mechanic that I love that they stole for Pizza Tower where you get to the end of the level, you hit a switch, and then you got to run back through the level taking like a different path because certain bits are closed off.
Right.
The character design is just them sort of stretching out with the, you know, being able to do more That's graphically. Awesome. So my official ranking, 4-1-3-2.
Okay.
All right. That's also my PIN code.
Don't use 1, 2, 3, and 4 in your PIN code.
They're not in that order.
That's a public service
announcement. No one knows the order that they're in. It's fine.
Well, there's a limited number of orders of, you know.
Anyway, I think
fuck,
I wanted...
we're talking about numbers.
Oh, yeah,
we
sorry.
We swore we wouldn't.
I want to do all of them. I want to go through...
How many more are there?
Well, there's... So there's Wario World on the GameCube, which I'm about halfway through, which is like 3D. Which they've never gone back to.
Yeah.
Then there's Master of Disguise on the DS, which I've never played and is apparently terrible.
Okay.
And then there's the Shake Dimension on the Wii,
right,
which I'm, again, halfway through,
yep,
and is great, but I'm playing it emulated on the Steam Deck, mm-hmm, and trying to get the dolphin to mimic the tilt controls, and it's just full of all Wii.
Yeah,
it's so right, much Wiimote stuff,
yep,
that I'll go into the settings and I'll get it all configured and I'll be like, okay, I've cracked the code, I can play this game, great. And then I'll get up to the next level, which has introduced some new bullshit movement-based mechanic,
right,
that none of my configurations work for.
Right. You,
so I have to go back into the menu and redo all of it.
Fuck. If you really want to wear my face Hannibal Lecter style and get fully into this shit,
mm,
you can connect a Wii Remote to a Steam Deck.
Yeah, I can't. So you can connect a Joy-Con and get it to mimic a Wii Remote.
Okay.
But I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I can't get it to properly register it, right, for the same inputs. Maybe I do just need to straight up get a Wii Remote. Mm. But yeah,
get a Wii.
I think I might
play
need to
it
get
on
a
original
Wii
hardware.
No, I don't worry. I've been looking.
It's,
I did start to think, because I just got very, I'm just like, I want to knock off the whole series.
Mm.
And I've hit a brick wall with it on the Steam Deck. And I genuinely was looking up. Maybe I just buy a Wii and a cop. Yeah. Maybe that's the only way I'm going to be able to do it, is
do it
to
on
play
a Wii U
it on
as well,
just, mm, the actual hardware. This is Nintendo's smart way of protecting themselves from emulation, is to have a system that has some bullshit controller that can never be mimicked on any other kind of hardware.
You wouldn't emulate a car. That's great. I'm so happy to hear that that's what you've been doing.
It was a fun little summer project.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Do you know, well, speaking of fun summer projects, do you know what Brian Cox has been doing over the summer?
I do, actually.
His winter, I suppose, wherever he would be.
What was the other thing he did? A McDonald's commercial?
He's popping up on McDonald's ads on most podcasts that I listen to.
Yeah. Go get it, man. Provide.
He's just finished the role of his career and he's cashing them checks.
I kind of love it. You know, it's like my legacy is set.
Yeah.
He kind of really is living the Logan Roy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what I do from now on.
Yeah.
Didn't
get your own fucking pile.
Because Weird Al did those Starbucks commercials. Not Weird Al. I mean Al Pacino.
Weird Al Pacino.
Weird Al Pacino.
And also that ad, never mind. That ad's from
okay,
Little Nicky or something, isn't it?
Weird Al Pacino.
Okay. What would he sing? Pizza, pasta, I don't know. But
those are strong
like
star.
That.
You shouldn't have bailed.
Brian Cox has done an
Wait,
ad.
Hang on. Weird Al Pacino. He's doing Blur song number two. Hoo-ha!
There you go. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. She's got a great ass. There's an ad for Tekken 8.
It's incredible.
That is a 5-minute monologue of Brian Cox recounting the story of the series.
Yes.
Specifically the Kazamas and the Mishimas. The main story, which I love that. So he goes through and explains it all and he's like, hey, Hachi was afraid that his son Kazuya had the devil gene.
Yes.
It kind of explains what the devil gene is a bit, but it's just like
right,
it makes you turn into a devil.
That
he's like, and then Kazama kills his dad, Heihachi, throws him off a cliff, thus winning the King of Iron Fist tournament. The one aspect of this whole thing he doesn't explain at all.
Yeah.
So
this is almost like what we need to see is... This trailer's all well and good, but you want to see the behind the scenes of this being made, where like, what the hell is any of this
about? I'm assuming
about?
He's coming in there being like, yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's like, it's kind of done with a bit of a wink. Like, it's not
for sure
fully as like straight down the line.
It's not
super
hoping
nerdy
that you're just like,
stuff.
Oh, this voiceover guy sounds cool. It's very hey, it's Brian Cox.
He's standing in a dumb fucking green screen studio.
And
like,
he keeps pointing behind him. He's like, he threw him off this cliff that I'm standing in front of.
Yeah.
Oh, reaching his hand towards the screen.
The way he says the devil gene the first time, it's like he knows. And the people making it know it's very
He's
silly.
A professional too. He's like, he's exactly. looked into it. He's not just turning up and cashing
Ask
the check
them how to pronounce
off.
These names properly and stuff. Yep, but it does have a little bit of like, you know, mobile game ad vibes when you get some famous. But like, there were those ones, I think I talked about them with Benedict Cumberbatch, talk about some fucking scam ass game.
Oh, yeah, like Merge Mansion or whatever.
Pedro Pascal was in those ones.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're all doing it thinking they won't show up in anyone's algorithm. But
they must be getting paid a hefty wad of cash.
It's the new Schwarzenegger going to Japan to do a like soda commercial.
Yeah, yeah. This is just for gamers. No one real will ever see it.
Yeah.
It's
Santori style.
It pretty comprehensively covers that main Tekken storyline from 1 through 7.
I've played every Tekken game and I still had no idea what the story was, and I was genuinely informed.
I've seen a number of people say that same thing too. I've seen all of those cutscenes of people throwing each other off of cliffs and then like trying to animate a smile to camera.
But like back in even Tekken 3, but Tekken 2 and 1, which I played all of at the time, it's like, yeah, there's no voice acting. Mm. There's only a little text scroll at the start of the game.
Yeah.
You have no context for any of this.
And it's some random cunt punching someone else and then riding a motorbike away. And you're like, I guess Paul's happy.
You mean Paul? the tall blonde hair. Yeah.
I kind of love that all the fighting games have decided they have to do this now, where it's like, you know, they're very, you know, they're well designed and they're very like, you know, they become these cultural icons. So they're well designed characters. But all of a sudden in 2023 being like, yeah, by the way, Chun-Li works for the CIA. It's like, what? Where was that decided on?
The guy with the leopard hat has a tragic backstory.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff has existed since but it was written on the manual that an arcade owner would get or something.
Yeah, on the side of the cabinet where you might, if you're waiting in line to have a turn, you might have a read. But
can you move House of the Dead out of the way so I can get the lore? He's in the game too.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's in it. But anyway,
Martial law, so good.
The game looks great.
The King of Iron Fist Tournament.
That's it.
That's it.
We all remember our childhood sounds.
Yeah.
Shut up, or I'll make you cry about something.
Again, you were raised by Porky Pig.
Yeah. Was that Logan?
I never had a child. But
someone should chuck the Succession characters into Tekken or something.
It's pretty close.
Yeah,
it's a lot of, you know, it's familial backstabbing, and they own a massive company, the Mishimas.
Half the people are wearing suits and stuff. Yeah.
So it's fun. Tekken 7 had all of the cutscenes from the first 6 games.
Mm.
And I think had emulated versions of the arcade versions of each of them too.
Right.
Oh, that's cool. I can't remember. But it's pretty funny, and I'm looking forward to 8 a lot. That's this month.
There's
a demo of it up now.
Is that the same day as Like a Dragon, I think.
I think it might be. Yeah. And then Persona's around there.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Persona 3 remake, and then it's Final Fantasy, a couple weeks after that?
Go back and listen to our podcast from last week.
And there's a
a month ago.
Yes.
There's a Prince of Persia demo now, I think.
Sick.
Today.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll give that a honk.
I will be going in on that. Also previews for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Hanging around, and universally negative.
Yeah.
Which is rare to see such untempered, I don't like this game, from a bunch of previews.
If you're gonna give the press a 5-hour demo, I think it was, like a month out, like, it's kind of crazy to me to like, they just don't get that they've made a bad game at all.
I think they must get it, but it's like, you're working with this huge company who probably wants you to do the, well, no, here's a, this is how a press thing goes, this and do that.
Sure.
Maybe they wanted to go more into it, but it just looks like shit too. I watched some footage of it, and like fidelity-wise and everything, it looks good, but there's so much bullshit on the screen, it doesn't look fun to play. I'm definitely going to play it to talk about it here, but I've already decided I'm taking that hit. So if you guys don't want to,
how very Joker of you!
It's such a fall from grace. Like, and I don't know if negative. It's because it's Rocksteady. It's not like they're just one company that just make these games, and I guess the critics are like, well, they're not giving me a Nintendo, you know, future. They're just happy to fucking, you know, annihilate it critically.
Yeah.
Hey,
by the way, did we? I have a feeling that we did not talk about this on the pod yet. That maybe this happened after we'd banked stuff. That Last of Us multiplayer thing got officially canned.
Yeah, it
did. Did we talk about? I don't think we talked about that on the show
yet.
The day
after we recorded.
Right.
I think it was swirling around. There was like all the negative, but they, the fact that they finally came out and just went, you know what? It's not worth it.
Good on them.
We're out.
Yep.
Absolutely good on them.
Yeah.
But this kind of feels like a similar studio. I mean, this is like kind of good evidence, I guess, of like them of Naughty Dog making the right decision, where this studio that had made these like great single player experiences feeling like they have to kind of pivot into this area,
a lot of
not being able to do a good job of it, and then also not be doing the thing that they actually are good
right,
at.
A lot of the key Batman people had left the studio over the years since Arkham Knight, and between that and this,
right?
So I think that's a part of it.
Yep.
But just the change in direction to just this type of game that people don't like anymore, or maybe never did. And it looks very much like that Avengers game. It reminds me of that quite a lot. But
that's right, that fucking Avengers game.
I'm interested to see it too, because it, amongst all that negativity, was like the story and the cutscenes are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Which, I want to see what it's like, but it seems that the answer will be probably. Yeah, not good.
No bueno.
Just a bad game.
Also, while we were away, the grind didn't stop for a young hustler named the Kid Who Beat Tetris.
Yeah!
His real name, I don't know. A 13-year-old kid was the first human being recorded.
Yep.
Maybe someone else has done it, but ever recorded to fully beat Tetris, meaning the NES version, I believe, meaning that he played it to the point, like with those old arcade games, where it no longer functions.
Right.
Because it's like...
Yeah, Donkey Kong had a thing where you could get...
A kill screen.
Kill screen.
That's funny to think that someone else has done that and not logged it.
Oof.
And then he's watching this and is like, oh, people cared. People would have cared about this?
Yeah.
God damn.
Little 13-year-old kid, good on him. The fucking news in America was mostly like, oh, wow, look at this, da-da-da, 37 years, no one's ever been there, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them said the original version of Tetris, which actually is not. It's not the original version of Tetris. But
they're calling it Tetris.
One newsreader was like, how about that kid? That kid should probably go outside. And I'm so grateful that everyone was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
What do you mean? He's 13, A, go where?
Yes.
Fucking, and B, he literally has done something that, to our knowledge, no other human being has done.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know how many human beings have been bullies? Heaps. So you're not breaking any new ground, lady.
Yeah.
Also, the bloody sun's getting hotter all the time. It's not safe to be outside.
Exactly.
That kid should go further deep down. Dig
get in a bunker. Yes.
Did he
put all the bricks together expertly, building your bunker?
Did he know there was a point that you could get up to in of
people
this?
Have been trying to do it for ages.
So he was actively trying to do it. It's not just like he loves playing and is really good at it. He was trying to hit that kill screen.
I think doing the thing where you get the glove on. Have you seen how people control Tetris competitively?
No. The POW glove?
You hold the NES on the side. You don't need a glove, but it makes it easier. So what you're doing is you're holding in one hand the controller and holding the buttons of the NES controller against your fingers.
Okay.
Specifically the D-pad buttons.
Yep.
Yep.
So that you can rattle your four or five fingers on your other hand. I don't know if they use all of them. Like that on the back of the controller, so that you get four inputs really quickly because it knocks the controller into your finger. So you can do that quicker than your actual fingers pushing the button can do it.
Wow.
You can get four for every one.
Holy
something
shit.
Something like that. People know how to fucking play
this
Tetris.
Sounds to me like you are thinking of taking this 13-year-old.
Now that it's been done, it's time for me to get into the arena that no one cares about anymore.
Yeah, we'll break the record.
It's like the 5-minute mile.
Yeah.
I'll do it as a 34-year-old. That's a higher score.
Well, let's get our documentary film career off and running. We'll do the King of Tetris.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll track
yeah.
you versus this little Timmy
just
or whatever.
A documentary that ends up in me also bullying the kid because I can't do it.
It's just a documentary about you being upset that you could not do it.
Yeah, well done.
That's incredible. Good on him.
Do
you know where they're an American kid? Is that the story?
I think
story?
That's right.
Okay.
I don't know much more about it.
All right.
But I'm never going to get into it. It's just not for me. But when speedrunning things and that type of realm, when someone does something that breaks through and I get told about it, it's always so fascinating and impressive.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyone in the Guinness World Records book.
Anyone.
Anyone.
World
any
record for worst person. I'm like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's me clapping.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to that 13-year-old kid. You're the official first 2024 Filthy Casuals Weapon of the Week.
All right. I guess we'll do that.
Well, I think that's what I like to call an episode of a podcast.
Yeah.
That's the year starting up again.
Yeah.
That's getting the wheels turning.
About my Phantom Liberty. I played Ponyfish Island number one.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It suffered for me in comparison to...
Inscription.
Well, no. Because they're very different kinds of games.
Right.
The trailer for Ponyfish Island 2?
Yes. Honestly, a little bit, but mainly there is no game.
It's
the same concept.
Yeah, okay.
Right. It's you know, like menu things going weird and shit like that.
Right.
Aesthetically, I'd much prefer Pony Island, but just that concept of like breaking a game, you know, and exploring that meta sort of thing had been done for me. But I don't think it had been maybe by the time.
Right. I think Pony Island is quite old now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know exactly when it came out. I want to say 2014. I want to say a lot of things.
It had to have, and we have to hold you back. We edit out a lot from the podcast. It had to have been an early experimental game in that sense. And you got to respect that. And yeah, it did make me look forward to the second one more. And I did go back and play Inscription. And fuck me, that card game is so good.
The card game in Inscription.
I keep meaning to go back and when we first all played it, we were all saying, oh, it'd be great to just have a mode where you can just play the card game. Mm. And then they added that in and then I have never loaded it up.
Same.
Yeah, I think I've bought it again on Steam and I've had to start the game again.
Mm.
And that mode is not available until you've completed the game.
Right.
Which is
Haley's mode or something, whatever the name of the person was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went back in on Final Fantasy 14 as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Game's fucking sick, man. I get so nervous doing the raids and shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to fuck up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do, especially when you're going back. It's really nice if you haven't played it for a bit, when you go back in. So new players have a little logo by their name. Mm-hmm. So you can tell, like, this person's new, give them a break. Returning players get a different one.
Oh,
so
yeah.
that people know, oh, they haven't played it in a bit.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's nice.
But
show them the ropes.
Doesn't help that much if you... I changed the class, a character that I'm playing. Anyway, I'm having fun playing Final Fantasy 14. I won't
sick.
Talk too much about
okay.
it.
Okay,
nice.
That game's sick, and I want to go finish all the stuff that I didn't do
right.
in my previous time with it, because another expansion comes out this year, I believe.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of stuff to look forward to in
there
January.
Is.
You know what? Maybe I'll have a fucking VR update next week.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Maybe I'll have finally gotten my head together, put a headset on top of it,
mm-hmm.
and tell you what, I really want to play Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
I really want that for you as well.
Yeah.
You didn't a minute ago.
We're all rooting for you. I thought I was kind of half hoping you would say that you have gotten your shit together and sold it by next week.
Uh-uh.
But
deeper in.
if you're playing Resident Evil 4, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, it looks sick.
Yeah.
You either, by next week, you either need to have played Resident Evil 4 VR, sold your headset, or bought a second one and not even opened the box yet.
Yep.
Analog Pocket review to come
out
next week.
Yes.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everyone. Filthycasuals.com.au for all of the links to the stuff that we have going on. We've got the Patreon. Get on there. Support the show. Very much appreciated by all three of us.
Yes.
And you get an extra little show in your inbox every week.
Mm-hmm.
Once Sometimes an week. Extra big show.
Yeah.
Every week, an extra the same as this show.
Like, yep.
Yeah, same wise. Length.
I roughly. Think
minimum.
Tomorrow's episode, we'll be talking about Saltburn.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like 20 other movies I watched over summer.
Yeah,
so
me too.
That'll be a bumper little episode, I think.
Check all that out. We're back, doing stuff on the YouTube channel. We got a couple of Lethal Company videos up there at the moment, but heaps of stuff on there. Full Let's Plays of a bunch of games, one-off little things that we've done over the years. Heaps and heaps and heaps of videos on there. Very popular with people that listen to this, we've found out after doing our little survey. Thank you to everyone who participated in that as part of the Listener Game of the Year.
A Lethal Company's fun. We'll play it for a bit and find some other stuff to play too. Give us some suggestions of stuff you might like to see.
Yeah.
Specific games.
Silly co-op games, I feel like,
they seem to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much for listening. We will see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
13-year-old sails the entire globe. How about you go inside?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.